Station. You guys have a nice flight. We'll see you back here.
Welcome to Roll Call, a 126th Air Refueling Wing podcast of the Illinois Air National Guard at Scott Air Force Base. Roll Call is a podcast centered around all things people, mission, and community. I'm your host today, Technical Sergeant Ariana Freeman. This week's guest, none other than 126th Security Forces Squadron Operations Officer Captain Chris Gotchel. We'll be discussing all things security forces, why Gotchel joined the military, his life as a civilian cop, and what, or should I say who, helps him keep up with it all. Before we get started, I want to give a warm welcome home to all of our deployers that just returned. Welcome home. And all our deployers heading out the door or deployers that are still overseas. We miss you. We hope you get back safe. Also, just a reminder that DEOC survey is still out. That is up until November 30th. So check your military email for that link and login instructions. Again, this is just a survey. Airmen can submit any input they have about the unit, good or bad, that goes directly to the commander. Lastly, 3 months left. Holy cow. So we're already 3 months away from December. We have our wing holiday party, December 7th in the maintenance hangar at 12 p.m. Bring your friends, your family, the kiddos, anybody that just wants to have a good time and free food, bring them. We're still looking for volunteers for that. So if you yourself want to volunteer, you know anyone who wants to volunteer, your POC for that is going to be Keeley Speck and Airman Family and Readiness Center. All right, I think that's it. I'll go ahead and pass it over to my co-host, Staff Sergeant Aaron Rodriguez, and our special guest, Captain Chris Gotchel.
Welcome to Roll Call, the 126 podcast. I am your host, Staff Sergeant Aaron Rodriguez, and today we are joined by Captain Chris Gotchel.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Yeah.
So we brought you on because you're a pretty interesting guy, at least, you know, from my experience.
Thank you.
I've known the captain here for over a decade now.
Yep.
My goodness. You're getting old.
Yeah, I am. I feel it.
Me too. So we both started in security forces together,
mm-hmm.
and you were there before me, probably a couple of years, I'd imagine, right?
Yeah, 2012 is when I started.
Senior airman when I came in or something. Yeah. And now you're a captain.
Mm-hmm.
You've changed.
I have.
Yeah.
I've grown, I like to think.
That's good. I hope you grow when you become an officer. So,
yeah.
Let's learn a little bit about you.
Okay.
So, security forces.
Mm-hmm.
What made you pick that?
I'm pretty real. So when I first started, when I enlisted, I had two choices. It was Intel or security forces.
Okay.
And I was told that the Intel spot, they gave it to the person that they recruited right in front of me. So security forces was next.
You missed it by that much.
I missed it by that much.
So why Intel or security forces though?
So I had a family. So my late best friend, his father was a security or not security force. He was an Intel officer.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stuff, all his stories that he's done, that I've talked with him about, or it was a super interesting career field that I was interested in. So
Okay. That
was, again, one of the choices, and it wasn't there. And then security forces were there, and I picked security forces because I also wanted to get into law enforcement. Huh. So
coincidentally, I also started with the option of Intel.
Well, that's
I was
funny.
Out in Utah, and when I joined up, my dad gave me one piece of advice: go for the clearance, not the bonus,
mm-hmm.
If it comes to that. So yep, I picked the Intel side, went to basic. When I got back from basic, they said, hey, we lost our planes and you don't have a job anymore. So through that route, I ended up here at the 126 as security forces.
Yeah.
But it was a good time while I was there.
Yeah.
And you're still there. So it must be a really good time.
I'm still there. Oh, yeah, I love it.
Okay. So for those who don't know, security forces doesn't quite exactly say everything that you guys do.
Mm-hmm.
What to the outside, who doesn't know what security forces is? What is that job and what do you guys contribute to the wing?
Well, so, I mean, our big mission is air-based defense, security forces. So we're the ones that are out there. We're, you know, the first people you see when you get on base. Mm-hmm. We're the ones, you know, making sure the right people can get on base. So security is our big mission. But to this wing specifically, you know, our our big thing is the 81X exercise, you know, okay. our nuclear mission that we have.
Gotcha.
So when what we do for security forces is we are out there with the planes, and we're making sure that they are secure from any threats on the outside, the correct people are getting to the planes, and nobody's getting to them that is not supposed to be there, mm-hmm. right? So those are the planes that are tasked for whatever refueling mission, for whatever nuclear mission that they have. Our task is to keep them safe and keep the right people coming onto those planes.
Okay.
And that's in a nutshell what the base defense stuff is. For the outsider that maybe doesn't know what we do, us being in the Guard, we have kind of a special skill set that some people don't know.
What is that?
And that's like our domestic operations
okay.
that we do stateside.
Right.
So we have actually been activated to go to Chicago mm-hmm. for the riots that happened. We were in the D.C. for the past two inaugurations, helping out with any type of riot control if there was any issues out there. Yeah. So that's some of the stuff that we specialize that normal, maybe active duty security forces units don't get the privilege of doing.
Okay. And so. And those special operations that have happened, like the inauguration, mm-hmm. it's not just riots that you guys can tribute to, right? That we had that which hurricane was that several years ago, and the squadron went down to Puerto Rico.
Yeah, Puerto Rico.
All right. So you mm-hmm. guys pulled what, the airport and base security
yep.
at that time mm-hmm. frame, and
yep. So we did our base defense mission down there in Puerto yeah. Rico when the hurricane, it was a Maria, Hurricane Maria,
something like
yeah,
that.
It was
one of the bad ones.
Yeah, it was a bad one. Most yeah. hurricanes are pretty bad.
Yeah. Well, I live down in Florida now. Uh-huh. I don't know if you knew that at all.
I didn't.
But now everybody knows that.
Yeah. Congratulations.
My first year down there, we had Hurricane Ian, I believe is what it was called.
Mm-hmm.
And it, Fort Myer, mm-hmm. destroyed
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Fort Myers, Florida.
Destroyed that installation.
Yeah.
That was on the opposite side of Florida from where I was at. But I was bunkered inside my one-story house that's mm-hmm. like a two-minute walk from where the ocean is at.
Yeah.
So I was a little nervous, but as it went across the state, it turned into a tropical storm, and it yeah. just took shingles off the house.
Nice.
But me and my roommate at the time, we had a canoe ready to go. We had our go bags ready to go.
Nice.
And a crowbar, and we had a plan to find the first two-story building that we could find and just okay. try to hunker down in there. I should have just left the state.
Can I ask the question? Point. Is what was the crowbar for?
I don't know if I can say it on this podcast. Let's just say it for survival. Okay.
Okay. You know? I got you.
In case we found a submarine somewhere that we needed to get into and survive. And
all right. Yeah, I don't know. Understood.
No, don't worry about that. Okay. So back to security forces.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So you do the domestic operations.
Mm-hmm. That's a weird
and
one.
Base security.
Mm-hmm.
Law enforcement.
Yeah.
That's another side of it.
Yep.
Active duty does the canine, right? Guard can't, it doesn't participate.
In we don't have canines right. for our unit. Yeah.
When I was with you guys, I deployed once.
Mm-hmm.
And since then it feels like your deployment tempo has skyrocketed.
Mm-hmm.
So for the deployment, what are the jobs there and how often are people going normally? What can a new recruit coming into security forces kind of expect right now or in the future?
Yeah, so I mean, our normal deployments, you're usually going every 2 years on a normal deployment, but depends on when you come back and your downtime that you get for being gone.
Yeah.
So my last deployment was in 2016 when I was enlisted, and I have not deployed since, unfortunately,
okay.
for me. But I mean, our unit, we deploy, like I said, every 2 years, and then we have the random volunteer deployments that we always get volunteers for. Because us okay. in security forces, we love
right.
to deploy. Why not? You know. So I mean, we do all the law enforcement. We do the base defense. So we have the back office stuff where people mm-hmm. are doing the passing ID, getting restricted area badges for people.
Right.
I mean, we do all the basic active duty stuff that happens with security forces. It's just in a deployed location.
Okay.
And we have combat arms guys, the armory guys that are out there working, that are deployed, that we okay. have that are specialized here. They can do it while they're overseas too.
Combat arms, what is that?
Combat arms is it's just our weapons maintenance, and they're the guys that you see with the red hats walking around. that will, you know, train us in our different weapon systems. They'll train the base population when they have to deploy. They also have to qualify with weapons.
Yeah.
But they are the ones that are out there, you know, teaching everybody how to use the weapon systems.
Okay. And does everyone in the security forces go through that kind of training, or that's an additional duty? And
combat arms is a specialization that you have to go to a school for. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
How long is that school?
9 weeks, I think.
But those guys are way more hands-on with the weapon systems that you guys have.
Yes.
And because they maintain the armory itself too,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you don't, in order to be an armorer or a flight armorer, you don't have to have the combat arms specialization.
Oh, okay.
You have to go through, but they don't do all the maintenance and stuff that combat arms can do, but you can still be a flight armorer and not be in combat arms.
Gotcha.
And those are the people that can just hand out the weapons when we're getting armed up, or when we're de-arming, they can take the weapons back. Mm-hmm. That's about what they can do.
So you ended up commissioning, mm-hmm. switching from enlisted to officer.
Mm-hmm.
How long has that been now?
Since I commissioned? Mm-hmm. 2019 is 2019. When I commissioned, yeah. January, okay. Or no, March of 2019 is my actual commission date.
Gotcha. Do you miss the enlisted side?
I do. But on my drill weekends, I'm always out with the guys training. I mean, I was always a hands-on kind of person. And I mean, in my civilian side, I'm a hands-on kind of guy. So, I mean, that's what I like to do. I like to be out with the guys. I know I'm no longer enlisted, but right. I'm still out there.
You're not stuck in a cubicle.
No.
Are you still going to be out there?
Not unless I have to
with
be.
Your guys? Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Transition, was that something that was difficult to do?
It was interesting at first, but most of the people that I've deployed with, that I've been in the unit with, there's only a select few that are still there when I was enlisted.
Yeah.
And I mean, we maintain that professional relationship when we're working. But you know, outside, you know, we're still buddies.
Okay.
But we know when to maintain that professionalism. It was interesting at first, and I knew it was going to be difficult, but it wasn't really it wasn't seamless, but it was an easy transition.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
it felt somewhat natural for
yeah.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd say you feel the role pretty well.
Yeah, I tried to.
Not good.
Yeah.
So you said your civilian job.
Yeah.
What do you do on the civilian side?
So I'm a police officer in O'Fallon.
O'Fallon police officer.
Yeah. Illinois, just not Missouri.
Can't get enough of it.
No, I can't. I can't.
I'm assuming the civilian side is probably a little bit more exciting day to day.
I don't know if you would call it exciting, but I mean, yeah, we get a little bit more action than what we would here, obviously, on a drill weekend, or because we're not out doing what the, you know, active duty would do on a normal day to day. We come in and we do training on our drill weekend. So yeah, I'm out there doing law enforcement, no fouling.
Okay.
When I'm working.
Do you have any like specialized responsibilities for your department?
I have a lot.
A lot. Okay.
I do.
Like what?
So I'm a firearms instructor for the pistol and the rifle. I'm a taser instructor. I'm a Milo instructor, which is our virtual based training.
Okay.
I am our armorer. I'm also a field training officer, so I train the new guys that come in.
Okay.
I'm a, well, what we would call here a 2IC. I'm a 2IC out there. It's called a senior officer.
So second in charge. For
second
those.
In charge only when the sergeant's not there.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then I am also a member of the ILEAS SRT team, which is the regional SWAT team as well.
Oh, wow. SWAT.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a lot of action. Okay.
It can be.
Yeah.
It can
which
be.
Which is intense.
It's pretty fun.
What is fun about that?
Being from the military background, and a lot of the training that we do with security forces, we do a lot of CQB, close quarters battle, mm-hmm. you know, going through room clearing and things like that. And that's stuff that I've never actually military wise been able to put into practice.
Yeah.
But now I get to do that on the civilian side. You know, we serve high risk search warrants when we have barricaded subjects, we get called out. You know, we have a lot of specialized training that most civilian police officers don't go through that,
okay.
you know, we show up and...
So the training that you receive in the military and how you guys train here in the military, you take that practice and implement it in your day-to-day job?
Yeah, I mean, I've used a lot of the tactics that I've learned in the military, and it has helped me in the So a lot of the things that we do civilian side, there's laws that I can't do all the things militarily that I, or that I would be able to do in the military. I can't do civilian side, just for certain use of force laws.
Like what?
Like if I go in, so when we go into a room military wise and we're clearing a room, we most of the time we have our weapons up,
yeah,
pointing, ready to, yeah, go. Yeah. We do that civilian side. It's a use of force and we can get sued for that. Even just pointing a weapon at somebody.
My goodness. Okay.
So we have to keep, it's a little bit different. And there's just different tactics. There's, you know, there's what's the saying, 1,000 ways to skin a cat. There's right. So many different ways to, yeah, to clear a room, clear buildings, do or get sued. There's a lot of different ways you can get okay. sued civilian side. And so, yeah, we train every month. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, drill here. We're not a full-time team, the SWAT team that we have. So we train every month. Actually, my training is next week. And we do all of our CQB tactics. We do a lot of shooting. And we're, like I said, we just have a lot of specialized training. So we are more capable. We have a lot more tools than mm-hmm. civilian police do when we have, you know, high risk situations.
Is there anything that you've learned from the civilian job that you've used in your military career?
Yeah. So, we recently, obviously in July, we went our DFT to Fort Leonard Wood. Mm-hmm. And we did a full 2 days in the shoot house out there, of just CQB training. And it was, me and First Sergeant Clausen, mm-hmm. medical group.
Yeah.
He is also, he's a Belleville police officer and he's on the Belleville SWAT team. So he was out there with us too. And we were doing a lot of the tactics that we use on the civilian side, helping out here that maybe we haven't learned, because we do a lot of basic CQB stuff here. And we have some different tips and tricks that we learn from the people that we go train with. We go to different training sites. You know, we train with special ops guys, soft guys, yeah, that will give us tips and tricks that they do. So we bring it back to the military side to just kind of help out, give us right. a little bit higher skill set when,
yeah,
than just the basic stuff that we get taught.
That's awesome that you yeah. can that you can do that, and that it goes both ways, mm-hmm. right? You're pulling stuff from the military and giving it to your civilian job, and
yep.
and back and forth.
Absolutely.
When it comes to the unit here, mm-hmm. The Security Forces unit here, what would you say is the one thing you're most proud of about your guys' squadron?
So, I mean, realistically, my troops, the thing I'm most proud of, and it's just one word, is our resiliency.
Okay.
That's what I'm most proud of. And it's the most evident when we're doing exercises. When we're doing exercises out here. So if you remember the last one,
yeah,
you know, we were all out here in
right.
in chem gear.
Yeah.
Right? And
it's
we've got a lot of people that are in chem gear inside an air conditioning. Not security forces. You know, mm-hmm. we're out on the flight line in chem gear in the sun and the rain and whatever it is.
Yeah.
Not a single one of my troops complain. None of them fall out. None of them. We're out there doing our job. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's the biggest thing that I'm the most proud of, is that we are a very resilient bunch. And
yeah, that's awesome.
We get stuck with a lot of the crap stuff. But I mean, we take it in stride, and we unfortunately love to do it. We like to, you
yeah.
know, embrace that suck.
Yeah.
I like to say.
Yeah. I remember, you know, back when I was still with you guys, mm-hmm. that was something that was encouraged and taught a lot, was that resiliency. Mm-hmm. Just kind of, hey, we got to deal with the stuff that's uncomfortable. We got to mm-hmm. deal with the stuff that's hard. And, that's our job.
Yep.
That's our job. So yeah, I can definitely see that definitely being something to be proud of.
Oh yeah.
Other thing I want to talk about, you are a very busy person. You work night shift and you're here during the day for guard.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, this weekend was a scheduling snafu. So yeah, I usually don't have to work nights on the weekend. I have drill, but
okay.
something happened. So yeah, I worked last night and came to drill today. So
you're just embracing the suck.
I am. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So fatherhood.
Yep.
Family life.
Mm-hmm.
How do you balance all that with your military career, which I'm assuming as an officer, you have like all the managerial stuff mm-hmm. that comes along with that.
Yep.
And then, your 500 responsibilities that you have in mm-hmm. your civilian job.
Yeah.
What's balancing family life with that? Like,
it's my wife. That's the only way I can do it.
Just the cornerstone.
Yeah, she is. I mean, she's the bedrock, and I mean, I couldn't do it without her.
Yeah.
And we've we've had a lot of tough stuff that we had to go through, especially with my job and, mm-hmm. and well, jobs, plural,
right.
You know? But I mean, we work together. We're a great team. And I mean, that's the one thing that I could say, that it would not be possible without my wife. So I couldn't do it by myself. So that is the only way that I can do it.
Yeah. That should be the right answer for you. So I'm glad that you, well, that you went that route. So yeah, no, but that's great. I remember when I was having my first child, and family responsibility was something that your guys' squadron really pushed as well. You know, it's just very important to have that connection with your family, make sure everything's good there. Yep. People checked in on you all the time and your family, and something you guys do really well.
Yeah.
Do you have any shout outs you want to make to anybody that's been working extra hard or performing really well?
I mean, we have a lot of them. So the one thing that I will, we just had a board for him today. So I don't know if he's on Facebook or not, but we just had a board with Staff Sergeant Hamlet. He's newer to the unit. He came with prior experience. He's a staff sergeant. But he's been with us for less than a year. And being a drill status guardsman, you know, we don't get to have face-to-face conversations a lot that often. So I haven't gotten to know him as well as I should. Mm-hmm. But today we after the board, we had a really good conversation, but he has, you know, become pretty much part of the family within less than a year, and just passed at the DFT was just it was just an eye opener to see what kind of leader he is, what kind of supervisor he is, what kind of person he is. Just, he is an all around good man, and really good for the unit. So that's awesome. That's the shout out I'll give him. I'll give it right here.
All right, there you go.
Shout out to Staff Sergeant Hamlet.
Awesome. Oh well, Captain, I'm grateful that you came in.
Yeah.
I know it was kind of last minute, but
that's all right.
You're here.
It was my pleasure.
It was a great conversation.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I didn't know all that about the police force in O'Fallon,
mm-hmm.
but also your career here as well.
Yeah.
So thank you for your input and your insight.
Yeah, appreciate you having me.
All right. Well, we are grateful that everybody else is watching. This is Roll Call, your 126 podcast. We will see you later.
You can find all our links on Linktree at linktr.ee/126ARW. You can also find us on YouTube or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Thanks for listening to Roll Call, a 126th Air Refueling Wing podcast focused on people, mission, and community. I'm Technical Sergeant Ari Freeman, signing off.
Secretary of the Air Force Frank Kendall traveled to Europe to strengthen international partnerships and visit airmen and guardians supporting NATO objectives in the U.S. European Command area of responsibility. The trip consisted of engagements with senior leaders in Belgium, Sweden, Lithuania, Latvia, Finland, Estonia, and Poland to reinforce the indispensable alliance that ensures security in the region. Kendall focused on the department's priorities for the NATO alliance, including capitalizing on space as an operational domain, integrated air and missile defense, and the future of interoperable command and control. The Air Force Installation and Mission Support Center is developing a course designed to equip combat air-based squadron leaders with the skills needed to teach and lead combat support warfighters through each phase of the Air Force Force Generation model. The new Combat Support Instructor course will focus on advancing agile combat support operations in an era of great power competition and bridges the gap by developing leaders skilled in managing these critical functions. The Joint Light Tactical Vehicle, or JLTV, is making its Air Force-wide debut in a simulated combat scenario during the second annual Advanced Recapture Recovery Operational Warfighter Exercise, or ARRO. The JLTV is intended to provide increased crew protection against IED attacks, improved mobility, and higher reliability. With the introduction of the JLTV's capabilities in the field, and with continued exercises, teams are given the chance to prepare and analyze their skills in a training environment specifically designed to mirror the challenges of the missile field. That's your look around the Air Force. I'm Staff Sergeant Milton Hamilton.